B'kiim b'halakha, three sisit is in the air. Baruch Hashem. Everybody's talking sisit. Everybody's talking talet. Without a doubt, that is the mitzvah of the year. The mitzvah of the year has been voted unanimously sisit, Baruch Hashem. The stores here in Brooklyn, at least, are being bombarded with requests for wool sisit, for lard sisit, for all different sizes. And Baruch Hashem, so many people have joined the ranks of sisit wearers. And without a doubt, it's bringing them and their families a lot of blessings. So yesterday in Biki'im, we talked about Shulchan Aruch's opinion based on Rambam that strings and garment must match. That's not the Ashkenaz opinion. Rama's hold, actually, you're able to have a mixed match between the color of the garment and the strings themselves. So basically, according to the Ashkenazim, you'd be able to have a camouflage talet for the army, for the soldiers, may they live and be well, and white strings. Actually, one of our members brought in today a beautiful XL, actually, extra large camouflage polyester, which is okay. Polyester, we said, according to some opinions, is okay. But this is the point here. It's green. So now, if anybody doesn't know what green looks like, this is green. And white strings. So basically, this is a good sisit for an Ashkenaz soldier. So therefore, when you're giving these sisit out in the front lines, or whatever you're giving them out, so if the guy's last name is, you know, Berkowitz, so then you give him one of these. If the guy's last name is Tawil Me'elia Kohen, so then you tell him, no, it's not for you. What would you do in that case? So you'd have to dye the strings, which is not such an easy thing to do, but the founder of Neatseed is with us today, Mr. Jack Falick, who actually was way ahead of his time in the revolution that he started with sisit. Man was close to his heart, this mitzvah. Everybody has their item when they came to this world. So he felt, and not for monetary purposes at all, this was a labor of love for Jack, and he decided that, you know what, let's bring sisit to the forefront of the people. We need to make it comfortable. We need to make it halakhically kasher and follow all the stringencies that we can and at a fair price. Anyway, he got involved in camouflage sisiyot and he was able to figure out the right die cast for the strings. So the strings matched exactly the garment. So those sisiyot actually would be kosher for the soldiers that are Sefaradim. Now, preferably, a soldier should wear the sisiyot under his garment, just like we always wear our sisiyot underneath the garment. And that's what he writes over here. If soldiers in a special unit are required to wear only camouflage clothing, number 14, and they may have no colors showing, they should dye the talit gadol and its sisiyot to match the required color, like we said. Now, if they were able to wear a white talit katan under their clothes, that's preferable. But again, that depends on the army rules over there. But if they get a white-on-white garment and wear it underneath, I don't know, are the undershirts camouflage also? Maybe they're all green totally. But if they're able to put it underneath their garment and just go white-on-white, that would be the best. If not, so then let them go green-on-green. And then he writes over here that, and that's again according to Maran. So again, we gave out thousands of pairs of sisiyot since October 7th, which was a great merit to the army. But again, now that we know the halakha, so there should be some attention paid to giving the right sisiyot to the right people, Ashkenaz for Ashkenaz and Sefarad for Sefarad. Now, by the way, that's not the only difference. There's other differences as well, even the way we make the knots. So there's Ashkenaz way of making the knots, and there's a Sfarad way of making the knots. There's differences, and there's differences in how much wrappings they do according to each one. And how, like I said, the knots are made. So really, everybody should follow their custom. There's no reason, especially today when you go to the stores, you have to tell the guy behind the counter, I want talit katan Sfaradi, because they'll give you the knots according to the Sfaradim. Whereas according to the Ashkenazim, it's a different minhag. Like I said, everybody should follow their minhag. Now, one should avoid wearing a talet dyed red. Okay, I don't know why somebody would do that. Maybe he wants, he wants to look like the Para Aduma. I'm not sure exactly what he's trying to accomplish with that. But again, because what would happen again? Red garment, red strings. And what, maybe that's the reason, red strings. I think maybe there's some sigula that if you have red strings. But the problem is red represents judgment. And you don't want to wear red strings hanging from your garment, especially that the Torah says on Yom Kippur, the red string turned white when they threw the goat off the mountain. So all the sins went with that goat, and the crimson string that they had would turn white to show you that the sins of the Jewish people were forgiven. So why would you want to walk around with a red tassels hanging from your garment, which represents sin? So that would not be an item. Now, our good member Moshe Assis mentioned yesterday about yellowing, and that happens sometimes. You know, for whatever reason, just by wear and tear or whatever it may be, or oxidizing the garment and the strings themselves turn yellow. And the question then becomes, is that considered, you know, could you continue wearing the garment? So in number 10 Zayin, he says, Hutesisit sheshtanesh sev'am, where the strings change lesahov to yellow, or afud. Afud is what color? Gray. It happens sometimes, by the way. Does turn gray. I guess that's for maybe dirt also and grime. Nahagu shelo lakpid bazeh. So people wear it. You keep on wearing it. Mishum shebetchila asiyatam yaseh. Since it started white, so that discoloration we're not going to pay attention to, especially if you can put it in the washing machine. These things are definitely washable. I mean, you put the strings in a separate bag, I think, to have this special item where you can protect the strings. And it comes out of the washing machine like new, or dry cleaning. That's for sure, okay? Listen, this is something that the rabbi is going to talk about today, which I think definitely is important. Sometimes, because we pray with our taler on, and a lot of people drink coffee, so there's spills. And all of a sudden you see the guy on his taler, he had a big stain of coffee on his taler. So that's not going to make the talit pasul. But one thing is clear. You wouldn't wear a suit like that to work with a big stain, let alone every day to work. So therefore, I mean, there comes a point where a person has to have a little self-respect for himself and for God. I mean, if it's not good enough for your own, you wouldn't wear pajamas like that to sleep under the covers where nobody sees you if you had a stain of black coffee on the back of your pajamas. So why is it that a guy can go 20 years with the same talit and there's no problem, he's good with that? Because answer is because it's talit, you know, the talit. You know, it's not, I don't wear it to a wedding, I don't wear it, to dinner, talit. But it's wrong. The attitude has to be that what you do for God has to be respectful. And if you look at the next page, he basically comes along and he writes, Umikol makom, this is the next page, the whole thing is this, En ra'oi lilbosh talet asher shina mar'ito me'od. If we really change the color, the talet, we're really now, it's yellowing and it's, you know, it's ripped or torn or filled with dirt, you got to clean it. Sheyesh lehader al kol hefesh shel mitzvah. Anytime you're doing the mitzvah, you have to amend. The Gemara always says, would you present this to a governor? If you had to give the governor, let's say, a gift, you know, you're giving him a talit or a garment, would you give him a yellowing garment with all sorts of sweat stains on it? Of course you wouldn't give it to him. It would be embarrassing. So then why would you present it to God? And the pasuk says, Zeid Ivan Ve'u. Now there was a rabbi called Seder Hayom. Now the Seder Hayom, we actually did this book, and he writes like this, I'm quoting, Tov lehizaher sheyeh sisit mehudar v'na'e v'naki. So the sisit should be beautiful, pretty, and clean. Ve'lo yeh metunaf. It shouldn't be dirty, karua, ripped, ubazui, and disgusting. Ve'chivan shenovesh oto l'shem mitzvah. Especially if you're wearing it for the mitzvah, we have a rule, ze'en ivan ve'o. Do the mitzvot in a beautifying way. Ve'en la'shem machsor l'shalim kifle kiflayim al kol ma sheyotzibo. Oh, you worried about the expense? So, he says, what do you mean? God is very rich. He'll pay you back twofold and fourfold. No, no, nobody should calculate when it comes to, there was one guy, a Syrian guy, he came to me once, and it was Pesach, it was by my grandfather's house, and he saw there was matzah shemura on the table. So he says to my grandfather, Joe, I don't pay to be religious. Meaning he's against the shemura matzah, because those days it was like $8 a pound. He said, I don't pay, it's a racket, $8 a pound, I don't pay for that over there. I told him, no problem. But when you go to the non-kosher Italian restaurant and they charge you $87 for a penne vodka that cost them 2 cents, there you have no problem to pay that. So you do pay. You pay for what you want to pay. When you want to get saft, you get saft. Because they, willingly you pay for that. But when it comes to God stuff, all of a sudden $7 becomes highway robbery, and they're making all... everything's highway robbery today, by the way. Everything's highway robbery. So it depends what you want to shell out for, what you don't want to shell out for. God comes along by the itroga. I don't pay $50 for a lemon. Yes, you do. You do all the time. You go to a restaurant, you get a salad in the fancy restaurant in the city, and they charge you $27, and then there's a service tax, and there's a charge for that, and there's the initiation fee and all that for a salad. Turns out it costs you $150 for a salad and a cup of wine. What's the answer? I want to pay for that. Okay, good. So what you want to pay for, you pay for. What you don't want to pay for, you don't pay for. So that's a mistake. You got to get used to saying, you know what? I'm going to spend and I'm going to be unthrifty when it comes to spending for the mitzvot. I'm going to be generous. And by the way, whatever you spend for the mitzvot comes right back to you. What do you think? Hashem's not going to pay you back. So I don't know how much this year, of course, in the olden days, that he has to really tell you that. Today, what is it going to cost? $20? To get a new talit or a talit gadol, really, you should change your talit gadols from time. There is anything you wear every day, even if a coffee doesn't fall on it, forget about it. Just wear and tear. It definitely it frays, you know. It gets stuck in the zipper, and you're pulling it out, and it loses its, you know. Listen, you change it, loses the freshness, 100%. You change your suits from time to time. You change your shirts from time to time. Should get into the habit of changing, maybe to give the people the benefit of the doubt, and this is maybe the truth, you feel connected to your talit. You know, the talit you're always wearing, you know, it's like a security blanket. You know, you feel, okay, but you're not Linus over here on the Charlie Brown. You got to get rid of the get a new security blanket. It's not respectful. So he comes on and says, V'zeh lashon harav chesed da'alafim. Watch what he says now. This is going to be a shocker. V'kama mehaginut vehabusha. Yeah, I'm going to read this in English. This is great. He says, when people make sure to dress in clothing as is nice and stylish, as if they can afford, they ought to be embarrassed if they at the same time use a faded, worn, or torn talit. They will then be wrapped in shame, while their excuse is quite lame. They will be forced to accept the blame. May Hashem spare us the pain. That's a rhyme. He rhymed it in Hebrew, and the guy was able to rhyme it in English, which is genius. Because in Hebrew it goes like this: Yilbash busha yitatef kelima nafshot tiyeh aguma v'yidag min hanekama. Nachman Litzia. How do you put that in English rhyme? I think that's, without AI, that's brilliant. Stating it more succinctly, Kaphaim Palachi writes, someone with smart, neat clothes and ugly-looking talit will likely be punished severely. So that's it. And they took the gloves off. Look at note 74 on the bottom. Reb Moshe Hagiz taught, a person must make sure to care for his soul's honor more than he cares for his body's honor, since the soul is attached to God above. If someone honors his soul by studying Torah, performing mitzvot, he at the same time is honoring the Blessed One. In every instance, one's first concern should be heaven's honor. If someone's honor honors his body with nice clothes, he must certainly honor his master by serving him with a beautiful talit and fine tefillin. If a person thinks this way, he will always be afraid to sin, and he will feel deep shame and pain over his past sins. In Teshuvot Ba'anagot states that if someone continues to wear a talit that has become filthy, he is guilty of belittling the mitzvah, it is possible he loses the credit for the mitzvah altogether. Wow. So, they're really not happy about this. Chacham Baruch Alav Hashem used to always tell us about the guys that their tefillin are crooked. You know what I mean? They're not in the right spot. He said, but you see the guy in the morning when he gets dressed with a mirror making sure his tie is right in the middle. He says, when it comes to his tie, he wants to make sure that it's straight. When it comes to tefillin, it's on the side of his head. So one guy, Magan David, always when he put on his tefillin, he didn't care. His tefillin was always in a different place. So Chacham Baruch would come, move it, and it goes out of the place. He'd move it again. So finally he got so nervous, he said, his tefillin are straight, his head is crooked. He says, I can't fix his head. but that was a pet peeve of the Rav, because he felt that people are more concerned about how they look, you know, physically. And when it comes to the tefillin, let's say the talet, they have less concern. Now look at Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin, he doesn't go into this too much, because I guess he doesn't want to get into the politics of it. But he talks about the techelet, the blue strings. So, actually today we talked about red strings, we talked about blue strings and white. That's it, red, white, and blue. So they have the patriotic talet. There's some people that claim that they know what the blue string is. There's a certain string that Torah says called techelet. Now, when Mashiach comes, I'm sure they're going to reveal to us the real techelet, and every sisit that you're going to see on the market is not going to look anything like it looks today. There's going to be a blue string running through the tassels. That has to be. That's the Torah's way of fulfilling the mitzvah. So why don't we know where the techelet is? The Gemara says in Megillah, there's a certain fish that surfaces in the north of Israel once every 70 years. And from the blood of the fish, so they're able to make this special dye that's called the techelet. So for the last, I don't know how many hundreds of years, people are trying to identify the fish and to try to figure out how to make it. What's our opinion on the techelet? I guess follow your rabbi and follow the great rabbis of the generation. You do. Today you have a lot of big rabbis that are doing it. But if you look at some of the rabbis that are on the wall over here, Chacham Baruch, our great rabbi, he didn't wear the techelet. Now, Chacham Avadya, which is even more telling, that had access to everything. All he had to do was snap his fingers, and they'd bring him, the best techelet that's around, and he didn't wear it. Rabbi Ben Sion Abba Shaul didn't wear it. Even Rabbi Kaduri, great Mekubal, we don't have his picture, but didn't wear it. For sure, Chacham Matlub didn't wear it. Chacham Shaul didn't wear it. So, I mean, Ben Ish Chai didn't wear it. So, Baba Sali didn't wear it. So, I mean, again, if you go across the board over here on our, Hall of Fame, they didn't wear it. Now, again, I'm not discounting it. You have some great rabbis in Israel today that wear it. You know their opinion is? It doesn't hurt. If it's the right techelet, so then we got it. And if it's not the right techelet, so it's a blue string. A blue string doesn't hurt. All right, again, all he's going to say over here is, and I think he said the correct course for ordinary people, if you're considered ordinary, is to emulate the practice of the Torah leaders of their generation. And that's it. Follow your rabbis, and that's it. Actually, I have to make a confession. Some big rabbi in Israel did buy me a talet with techelet. I mean, it's stunning. It looks, the strings are gorgeous. When you see the blue, weaved into the strings. Rabbi Sabato, actually from Israel, he bought me a talet. And I'm not going to lie to you, during COVID when I was home, when nobody was looking, I shut the lights, I went under the table, I put it on over there for a couple of minutes. I wore it. Because I said to myself, maybe I'm not going to wear it in public, because once if I do something in public, then everybody's going to start following it, then I don't want to be a trendsetter on something my rabbis didn't do publicly. But when nobody was watching, I put it on, it felt good, I wore it to chelet. If I wore it to chelet, I hit lotto. If I didn't, so I wore a talit. I don't think it causes a damage. Finally, and I think I told you this story, and he brings it down over here, that there is a mitzvah, rare mitzvah, but I guess it should be on the bucket list of things to get accomplished in life, and that's the shita gez. Syrians are experts in the mitzvah of gez, but this is a different mitzvah. This is the shita gez. This is a different mitzvah. This is the sheet before this gez. Anyway, Gez is shearings of sheep. And the halakha says that if you have sheep and you shear, you know, the first shearings of the wool, and there's a certain amount, that is a mitzvah to give it to the Kohen. The Kohen has entitlements. If you're a Kohen, you get 24 entitlements just for being a Kohen, for doing nothing, for having the right chromosomes, and for having the right last name and lineage, you get 24 gifts. And it's obligated from all the Jewish people to make sure that the 24 gifts are given to the Kohen. One of them is wool. So basically, if you saw a Kohen wearing a sweater, it probably comes from wool that he received from his entitlements. Now, this mitzvah of the Shita Giz, it says if you can get wool that was fulfilled the mitzvah of the Shita Giz and make a sesit out of it, meaning a garment, so then already you're doing one mitzvah that's leading to another mitzvah. If you look at the note on 76, it's a letter from the Gera Rebbe, author of Imre Emet, to the son, to his son, the author of Lev Simcha, explaining that he had sent him woolen strands made from wool that had pronounced the Shita Gez, instructing him to make sesit with them. This is similar to the more, you know, like the Eruv Tavshilin that you make on Wednesdays before the holiday. So they said you should use it for Seudat Shlishit to eat. Since you did it for one mitzvah, use it for another mitzvah. Or the Aravot from the holiday, save it and burn the Hametz with him the next year. So we like to recycle mitzvot. So they do the same thing over here. Since you already have the mitzvah that she takes, so you should take some of that wool and use it for the strings or the garments. Only you know one guy that did it. I think I said Rabbi David El Nadav, a great rabbi from Magen David, and he has the Minyan across the street, 2030. And he goes to Israel every summer. He's a tzaddik, this guy. He goes to Israel every summer, and he doesn't want to give up his class because he has a class with a lot of students. Problem is, there's a 6 or 7 hour difference between the time. So he gets up every morning at 3 a.m. and he gives the class over Zoom. I know, because anytime I have a Magen David question, I know if I call him 2:30 in the morning Israel time, he's up. Well, 4 o'clock in the morning, right after the class, I could catch him. That's devotion over there. That's really devotion. So anyway, he this year or last year did the mitzvah v'shita ges, cut it. He went and then he turned the strings into sisiot, and he's wearing it. One of the few guys that I know was able to fulfill his mitzvah. So he says, "Mishi yesh lo tzemer." That's the number 18. Shigazaz. At the time that you fulfill this mitzvah, so to your question, Joe, he's making actually the strings of the sesit. I think Rabbi Nadav actually made the garment himself, and he did both. He says, since the wool had been used for the mitzvah, it is commendable to use it for another mitzvah as well as sesit. So that would be... No, I guess the Kohen gave it to him back as a gift. Right? I'm assuming that he gave it to the Kohen, and then since it was done for a mitzvah, then the Kohen gave him a piece of it to make strings out of it. Oh, so our good student over here just came back from Israel, Mr. Ike Betesh, Yerum Hodor, and I asked him if he can locate for me Wallace's seat. Now, I told you Wallace was the name brand for the highest quality seat. You know, in the industry. I don't know, like you have maybe in, I don't know, in other industries where you have a certain name, that's the industry standard when it comes to, like a Rolex or a Maytai or something like that. A Rolex, let's say, is this industry standard on watches, maybe. Not Timex? I thought Timex. I have a Timex. How about Casio? I had the Casio, the F11, what happened to that one? Anyway. Okay, so Rolex and all these brands, you know, we say a certain name, everybody knows, oh, that's the industry standard. So in Sisiot, you say Wallace, so everybody knows every stringency that you could find. So the original Wallace, which I had them when I was in Israel, he was still alive, the old man, used to go to Me'ash Arim, and they were a fortune. But again, it's not worth, again, you said Hermes tie, that's got to be a fortune also. But you pay for it because of the quality, so you pay for it. So now, after the old man passed away, they had Sisiot Ke'en. They said Ke'en meaning it's as Wallace. But now I see over here, they went back, and they're printing it over here on the back, that, yeah, he says, these sisiyot over here were made by Rabbi Moshe Wallace from Yerushalayim under the name Sisit Wallace, and we also gave them a hechsher, and they're watching it, and everything is done, you know, with the highest. So if you can get a pair of these strings, that would be good as well. All right. Anyway, show and tell is over. Have a good day, gentlemen. Tomorrow's another day. Beautiful learning, actually.